Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to the show. Welcome to another Sunday night and another episode of the AfterBuzz TV After Show for The Walking Dead. This is Season 7, Episode 7. Another 90-minute spectacular. This one was titled Sing Me a Song. I think we all envisioned maybe some like Lord of the Rings, Sing Me a Song stuff was going to happen. It kind of did, actually. So we're going to break that down for you. We're all here ready to hang out. We'll see you guys in just a second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, guys? What's going on?
I try to make stuff awkward right before you go on.
I just want you to
crack up at the start of every episode.
I tried to bring the energy level on my pitch down just a little bit from where it's normally been, because last week I was so excited that I stuttered a bunch.
Yeah. And I wouldn't forgive you for that. So
yeah. But you didn't stab my hand like you just threatened. So
well, we still have one more week to go for this season. So yeah.
Another 90 minutes.
All is not lost. Guys, welcome to the show. Welcome to the AfterBuzz TV After Show for The Walking Dead. This is almost the mid-season finale for Season 7, a season that is inching along with more minutes than we've probably ever seen in the first half of the season, I'm guessing. I don't think we've ever seen, because next week will be 90 minutes.
Yep.
So that will be 4 out of 8 in the first half of a season that have been double long. I don't think that's ever happened to us before. We will do all of our introductions in just a minute, but what did you guys think? What was your initial reaction to Sing Me a Song?
I've seen this all before, and I really like that I'm seeing it again.
Okay, great. From the comics.
From the comics, yes.
Excellent. Susanna?
For me, it was a tiny bit long, maybe just because I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
Probably if I was expecting it, I would have been ready for it. But I liked it. I liked the storylines that are going on. It's a good setup.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good episode, but like I told you guys when we were watching it, I didn't think it needed to be 90 minutes.
Right.
I felt like there was definitely some things that could have been cut out of it. You know, some of the Negan scenes with Carl, I didn't need it to be as drawn out as it was, personally. So, But it was still a great episode.
Yeah, I definitely felt that I appreciate that they picked things up a little bit. I mean, we got to see a lot happen. The pacing's a little strange for me. It's one thing I'm starting to notice about this season. I think this season may have the strangest pacing so far. Maybe it's because there are so many of these double-long episodes, but whatever it is, I definitely enjoyed some of the moments tonight, and there's a lot to talk about. We touched on a lot of characters. So, guys, we are going to break the whole thing down for you. If you want to follow along in the conversation, you can find each and every one of us on social media. My name is Ben Bateman. You can find me at Ben Bateman Media. Mr. John Carl, where can folks find you?
The John Carl, so THEJOHNCARLE on Twitter and Instagram, and, of course, Whiskey and Waffles on YouTube.
Susanna Kim.
Yes, you guys can find me at Susanna_Kim, SUSANNAH_Kim.
And Mr. Daryl Kristen.
You can find me at Daryl Kristen on all social media platforms, DERRIALCHRISTON. Please follow me and I'll follow you back and we can chat.
So Daryl is also the social media coordinator over there on the
side
of the table.
So let us know what you're saying and I will read it. If you have questions or, you know, there's
inside
scoop, I'll deliver it today for you.
Absolutely. So a couple quick plugs, guys. We provide free content here. We want to continue to provide free content as we always have. And if you give us a rating or review in iTunes, it really helps us do that. A few stars. Keeps the lights on, so that's great if you do that. As we mentioned, we're on Twitter. So is AfterBuzz TV, at AfterBuzz TV, if you want to just tweet at the network. And lastly, we will talk spoilers at the end of this episode, and we will do a special comic book-related spoiler section that we do every single week. It's not something that we will bring up during the show deliberately. We will be kind of vague intentionally if there's things that we know. But if you don't want to know, we'll give you a final warning at the end. And stick around if you do want to hear things that we think may or may not happen based on comic book information. Let's start out with where the episode opens up, and this is actually in the moments from 2 weeks ago, where Michonne sees a pile of burned mattresses on the side of the road that we know the Saviors took and just burned, just to F with the Alexandrians, is what it seems like. Mm-hmm. And she seems pretty pissed. She seems pretty bummed. So I think because there's so much to cover here, I'm going to kind of go like character by character,
yep.
And then we'll deal with the major relationship, was the Carl and Negan stuff at the end of the episode, because there's a lot to touch on.
There's a whole lot on there.
With Michonne, though, we only had a little bit. We first see her just like pacing and pissed, and she takes out these walkers. She leaves her bag and her sword, right? Did she pick them up? She just left them on the ground?
She was setting them down. I think it was to make us wonder, because later she has the sword in hand.
Got it, okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't looking for it at the end of the episode, but it was weird.
It was literally pointed at that girl's head.
Yeah, it was pointed at the girl's head, yeah.
She started with the sword and then in the car switched
true.
To the gun.
True, she's got the gun.
Shot.
Yeah. It's just weird that like you guys picked up on that was strange, but she was leaving the bag with the walkie-talkie. It seemed like she was walking away from it. That's like what they were trying to show us in the beginning. You
it could have gone in a few different ways. It could have gone with the intent of having that there was to get somebody to stop and look at it and essentially use that to set a trap.
Got it.
But then, as we saw, you know, she was just looking for a group of walkers, and she made her own mini roadblock out of bodies, which I thought was interesting because we've seen walkers used in different ways from a utilitarian standpoint.
Right.
And I think that was one of the first times where they were used as a roadblock of just corpses. And we've already established, you know, if you hit enough walkers with your car or something like that, or, you know, a bike in Dwight's case, you're going to mess up your tires and make it harder to travel. So I thought that was interesting that they found a they utilized it in a new way visually for us.
Definitely.
And I actually thought we were going to go back to seeing the old school Michonne when she had two walkers with her initially, because the way that they set it up with them both coming from each side and the way she was walking, I thought she was just going to, like, you know, cut off their arms and
do the jaw
and go from there, you know.
It was a familiar visual.
It was like a great setup from, from AMC for that.
She was like the original badass with the two, with the two walkers. Speaking of the jaws getting cut off, which is her old thing that she did to prevent them from biting, at this point, like, I feel like the body degradation has happened to such a degree that, do you wonder at what point the walkers will go for a bite and their jaw will just break off trying to bite you? Like, when will the bodies degrade to the point that they'll try to grab you and break their own wrist, or they'll try to bite you and they'll just break their jaw?
I'll share with you the link that explains the degradation, and I think it actually points out when it's past the point of that still being able to happen.
Got it. Yeah, you shared it with us last week, I remember, on the show, and we read it, but, like, it's been a whole other season.
So. Yeah, it's been a full season since on it. No, but yeah, you know, the thing is, you're also still getting new walkers. Your walkers from the start of the show, those are probably falling apart and are no better off than, like, the bicycle girl from the first season.
Right.
But, you know, still, all you need is one person to be running down the road, they get nabbed, and then you have a brand new, freshly decaying walker on your hands.
Right.
Freshly decaying. That could be a thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, freshly decaying.
Freshly decaying. Yes.
I'll put that as a shirt on our shop
freshly
next week.
So Michonne sets a trap.
Yep.
She takes prisoner a woman whose name we don't find out.
Yep.
She is a redheaded savior, is all we know. She's in a truck. And right at the beginning, you called it. You were like, she's definitely a savior.
Yes.
I saw the shirt she was wearing, and my first thought that she was part of Oceanside. The shirt reminded me of a lot of the decorations they had hung up and a lot of the camouflage they were wearing. So I kind of thought that's where she was from, but I was dead wrong.
Yeah, I 100% was a savior.
Yeah, just because the way... I just felt like she was a savior, too, just because I know that she's just on a mission to get to Negan, so I just felt like they wouldn't even detract from that tunnel vision that she has to get to Negan.
Yeah,
so.
Right. Yeah. And if it was one of the people from Oceanside, I feel like they would be very quick to say, I'm not one of the saviors, or I'm not with Negan.
Right.
Oh, as soon as she said, take me to Negan, and she didn't say anything back, then you were right. But I just...
I do give that girl credit, though, in the car, for actually trying to get out of that
very
scenario.
Very bold. Yeah.
I mean,
like, she
surprised.
Didn't even go
I felt like she was going to try something, but I didn't think it was going to be that quick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
I'm surprised that she was alone, like, on a mission, right? I feel like savers usually kind of travel in groups, or at least in pairs.
She could have had some like, post, or, like, some sort of, you know, like, quick run, patrol, something that she was going towards.
She was off on.
Maybe not, like, the longest mission or something like that.
You know, after burning all the mattresses, they just wanted to send somebody back to go pee on them for extra, you know, insult at that
point.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on to the second thing here, we're going to touch on Spencer and his drive with Gabriel, which we will then, in turn, wind into Spencer and Rosita. But Spencer has a drive with Eugene, with Gabriel.
Yep.
And he kind of is like, am I a sinner for hating Rick? I think he's wrong. The best thing that could happen is if Rick doesn't come back. Father Gabriel's like, no, Rick inspired me. You're a shit for saying that. One of our five shits. Is that what we marked out?
No. So we have, in total, two shits from non-Negan characters.
Yeah.
Five shits from Negan and one bullshit from Negan.
Mm-hmm. So eight shits.
Yeah.
Eight shits on the episode.
Eight shits.
Yeah. That's what we, I mean, that's what, yeah, we've been talking about how they've been sort of like cheating the profanity in the most accessible way, which I guess is just saying shit over and over again.
And not for nothing, Father Gabriel's came across as incredibly insincere. It doesn't feel like that character in any form that we've seen him would actually choose that as one of his choice of words. It's not like you calling Spencer a shit weasel.
Yeah. I guess it's for them to show us that he's had, like, a change, you know what I mean? And the change in his character, but but you know how I feel about him. I felt the same way.
Yeah.
From the beginning, he's not one of my favorite characters on the show, so, you know.
No, well, we've all established, we all have the character that we hate and would be happy if they died. Yeah. So, yours is Father Gabriel, mine is Enid, yours...
Spencer.
I don't have one yet.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
I'll get there, I guess.
You're a nicer person than all of us, apparently.
Question, who's the bigger shit weasel, Spencer or Xander Berkeley? Gregory.
Ooh.
Mm. I mean, Gregory's more outwardly a shit weasel, but
yeah, I'm
going
to have to go with Gregory, per se.
I think he's actually more of a coward.
Yeah.
I think Spencer is very headstrong, and that's what's going to cause him to start something being bigger than what it needs to be.
Yeah.
But you know, yeah, Gregory's just trash.
Right.
Yeah.
And cycle forward time agrees with you, Ben, that Spencer needs to just die already. Midseason death one for sure.
Yeah, that's, I think, a pretty... That feels like they're foreshadowing that happening, but we'll see what happens. Yeah. We'll talk about that at the end of the episode.
Yeah, you thought it was actually going to happen at the end of this episode.
Yeah, I started to just get...
When we started seeing how much time was left on the DVR recording.
And actually, so far, Spencer, they said, is
the bigger shit weasel?
The bigger shit weasel right now.
That's great.
Over Gregory.
Well, here's my thing. The reason I think he maybe is the bigger shit weasel is because Gregory feels like he is... really stupid, but he also is more of a coward and aware of what he's doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Whereas Spencer, I think, legitimately thinks that what he's saying, like, Rick came here and my parents died, is the truth.
It's the truth, yeah.
When he's an idiot. He's like, he's actually dumber. Like, I think Gregory knows what's going on. I think Spencer is totally that guy who's just going to go to the grave being basically a coward that thinks he's dead right.
Right.
As opposed to saying he's just trying to survive.
I think Gregory's seen a lot more, too, and Spencer's just, like, talking out of his butt, kind of, you know?
Yeah. They both drink scotch, but... Gregory likes better scotch.
He does like better scotch.
Right, so there you go.
Quality.
Based on your research after both episodes.
Based on my research after both episodes. Anyway, so Spencer has this moment in the car. Gabriel, you know, Father Gabriel's like, you suck. Spencer jumps out of the car, and we all have the same reaction, right? Like, is he going to take down the priest right now? Like, is he going to kill him and be like, he got eaten by a walker? I don't know what happened, because now he knows the secret?
Yeah, that was what my gut was, is he's like, oh, I probably shouldn't have said this, because this... Despite the fact that this guy is a priest, he's probably going to tattle on me right now, so I need to stop that.
See, I didn't think that he was going to kill him, because I just don't think that Spencer has enough big balls to do that to Gabriel. I don't get that from him.
Maybe to Gabriel.
Yeah, to Gabriel. Yeah. Not to Gabriel.
It definitely felt like a weird moment when I had the suspicion, but then he like runs into the woods because I guess he hears a walker. And he sees this walker, and it's like up on a trap, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, it's like some sort of trap, and this walker formerly had like a sweet crossbow.
Well, not a trap. That's a perch for hunting.
Okay,
so
that was a perch.
So that's somewhere where that guy was up there himself, and whatever caused him to die, that's where he ended up staying dead. But that guy wasn't trapped up there. He put himself up there.
Maybe he got shot or something.
Blind.
Something.
Yeah, something happened. So yeah, so Spencer takes his crossbow and finds a note on him, and this note, we all were like looking really carefully, right? And at first, I was looking at you guys. I was like, "Did you see that? Did you?"
Yeah,
read
we're
it?
Like, "What?"
Nope.
Also, regular bow, not crossbow.
Oh, that's just that. Oh, really?
Yeah, that was a recurve bow.
Really?
We know who hunts and who does not hunt on this panel right now. That's why I'm silent, because I don't know.
Sorry, not recurve. Compound bow.
So Daryl's a crossbow. Not Daryl. Daryl.
He might.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Daryl's is a crossbow.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. They just look sort of similar to me.
Yeah, because it was
I look like
circles on it.
Makes me tough.
I cosplay as Hawkeye, okay? Yeah. I know what a bow is.
Your cosplay as Hawkeye is totally sweet.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, anyway, he takes this bow, this compound bow.
Yep.
And this note that we find out eventually is written in Latin.
Yep.
Gabriel goes back to the compound. I guess he walks home. He's like, I'm going to spend
We myself. Never actually see him get back there, though. That's the interesting part.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we don't know where he
is. We assume he's back.
Maybe he doesn't make it back.
Yes. But that's what's going on with their relationship and Spencer, so he's kind of spinning this web of what he hates. So we'll jump in now to his relationship with Rosita, because I think it kind of... We'll illuminate a little more what's going on. So when he does find them at the end, it's after an initial conversation with her where he's just kind of like, that's the way things are now. We have to forage for Negan. Mm-hmm. If we don't do that, we're all going to die. And, you know, Rosita hates that. She hates Spencer now because she thinks he's a coward.
Well, he also keeps throwing Rick under the bus for it. He keeps saying, we have to do this because this is what Rick did, and we need to now, we're at fault for whatever Rick did, too.
Right. What do you think Spencer really thinks the answer is? What do you think he, like... What do you think he thinks the thing that he wants to do or is going to do is?
I think he wants to be the one to take out Rick to gain something in Negan's eyes.
You think that? So you think that he believes that he could be a more reasonable ally to Negan or something like that?
Absolutely.
That like Rick
I do, but
got
I also think that there's just a resentment that he has for Rick that's so strong that I'm not necessarily going to say that he's just necessarily trying to impress Negan. It's just that he just has such a hatred towards Rick because of what happened to his mother and his family.
Mm-hmm. Enemy of my enemy is my friend, too.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. So we see Spencer in his conversation with Rosita early. He goes out. He finds these cachets that he says that he found on these... this letter in Latin that he was like, I was a kid and my mom taught me Latin. I was spoiled, so now I know how to do things.
Yep.
And he finds all this stuff, and he's like, she's like, you're just gonna give it all to Negan? And he's like, I'm gonna do something better. So what do you guys think about that? What's he gonna do?
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't
come up with a theory on that one.
I guess it's more predictions territory.
Yeah, it's more predictions, I would say.
Even when he said it, I was like, hmm?
Yeah, but like, he has some big
plays.
You're
really not that clever to come up with a good idea of what to do with it, so.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he doesn't seem very smart. So, so, but on the flip side of it, we've seen Eugene and Rosita hanging out, and she's like, make me a bullet. Eugene gets into this whole thing with her. She says some pretty mean stuff to him.
She did.
Also, why only one bullet?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah, why not, like,
if you can
five.
Make bullets?
Yeah, right.
It's pretty poetic.
I know you're kind of a badass, but I don't know if your shot is good enough that you're going to take him out. You have to get the one perfect shot on him. At least unload, a clip or something like that.
I think she just found one casing, though, right? Or something?
Oh, is that what it was? She just had the one
casing?
She
had a casing.
She found one casing, so maybe that's the only one that she could make.
I'm sure if they dug through...
She should have, too.
I mean, the amount of fighting that has gone out around Alexandria, it can't be that hard to find a few more casings.
Right.
I would think so.
Yeah, right.
If you're making a bullet, you can probably find another
one. The people in the chat are actually really upset with Rosita, the way she treated Eugene, but personally, I'm not. I think that she gave him 100% what he is, you know, and called him out on it. I mean, sure, delivery was a little tough when you guys are the two who are out there together, but on the flip side of that, I mean, it's true. I mean, he is kind of caused several of these somewhat contributed to these deaths.
You know? Right, I mean, she says to him, you're a coward, you're weak. And he's like, it doesn't matter if you're, what's he say, stealthy, snappy, gunny, or knifey.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's a good line.
Sorry, awkward. Your delivery on that was
that was funny.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it from both sides. I don't agree with her plan to go in headstrong and just take him out with a single bullet. I think that's incredibly short-sighted on her part, and it's going to get her killed if she doesn't succeed in it. And even if she does succeed in it, it's still going to get her killed.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing, is like, we've always seen Eugene has had a thing for her for the longest time, even when she was hooking up with Abraham.
Yeah.
So
he used to watch them.
He used to watch them have sex.
Exactly. So even though it's creepy as hell, he still has feelings for her, and he, I think, selfishly doesn't want her to die. And I think that's part of why he's trying to push back, too.
It's weird, too, though, because he's been a coward for a long, long time, but they gave us some, like, beacon of hope in the finale last season.
They did.
That he was going to kind of, like, come out of his shell and open up and, like, be better. And I guess in some ways he has, but he's just had, like, a total, like, slide back moment, it seemed like.
Yeah.
Right.
And maybe that's to protect her.
I mean, he hasn't done anything since the events of the bat.
Yeah, he's pretty shell-shocked.
Yeah.
And I also just think she's taken out her emotions on him regardless anyway, because she's still very hurt with what happened with Abraham. So, and clearly focused on getting to Negan to kill him. So I think it could have been anybody, and she would have gone off on them.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah, they had a pretty sweet interaction, and his line at the end of it... I'd like to take it back to awkward silence.
Awkward silence. Yeah. That was genius.
Yeah, I will say, for him being the wimp of the episode, he had the two best lines. Stealthy snipey, gunner knifey, and then I'd like to take it back to awkward silence. He's starting to pick up what Abraham did a few times. I mean, Abraham's were a little more colorful, but I thought, you know, he's starting to get some of the real good lines.
I feel like if you're ever in like a fight with your significant other and it's getting like heated, and then you guys are like silently not talking, I want to be able to like say my thing, like my really strong point. And then she tries to respond, and I'm just like, I'd like to take it back to awkward silence now. I feel like that's the line.
I will make sure to tell her. I will tell her that for you.
I like that.
Yeah, that's good.
But it does seem like he's making a point to her that he's saying, like, someone's going to have to make a sacrifice. So I'm curious to see if maybe he'll end up doing that in her place.
Yeah, he's pretty sure that, like, even if she's the one that takes the shot, someone else is going to get killed for it.
Yeah, because, I mean, Negan has shown us he doesn't necessarily punish the person directly who's at fault,
right?
And that's something that we continuously see.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, definitely. And I think he's dead on with that. I think he should be worried about her. I think she's being incredibly foolhardy,
reckless.
But I think we can start to piece together all the pieces. Right? They didn't even show him make the bullet. We went to the compound. Mm. He made the bullet reluctantly, but he made it, and it's all in the timeline of this episode, which means it doesn't take him that long to make a bullet.
Right.
Which also means if we find casings, we're going to be able to make bullets.
It's really not that hard to find casings in this world, yeah. I feel like. Like, look at the garbage around Alexandria. There have to be tons of casings. Yeah. Have to be tons.
So that's some foreshadowing for, I think, something that will definitely be happening. If we have a facility and somebody who can make bullets, like,
yep.
That's got to be on the horizon.
Also, oh, I will say, badass move of her pulling back the gun in the bullet. That was, total badass move.
Total badass move.
That was.
Yeah. Yeah, those fluid moves. Do you guys ever see that video? It went up like 2 weeks ago on Facebook. The golfer who turned and like he did the thing where he like threw the club in the air and then caught it. Like, now you know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
I didn't see it.
Oh man, if anybody in the chat or who's like listening to this right now saw this, it's basically a fluid motion with a golfer where he like turns and like drops the club, catches it on the other side, and like goes for a full perfect swing. It's nice. Unbelievable.
I'll have to check it out.
So I watched it like
it's
30.
Like the evolution of that Tiger Woods video from years ago where he was doing the tap, 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 and then into the swing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I legitimately watched it 30 times back to back, and it's like
thanks for sharing
20 second clip.
Yeah, we are Facebook friends.
Unbelievable. So as we continue to move through, did we want to share anything else on Eugene and Rosita? Anything else that we noticed? Anything else important?
I think
Daryl might just be in love with her.
Yeah, I mean, well, I know that, you know, you were sort of not impressed by her acting tonight, I would say, John. Would that be the politically correct way of saying
that,
it?
I didn't think she was that good. It felt a little forced, and you didn't even notice the acting.
I just made a statement, and I'm sure some people may agree with me on the chat, is that I didn't even notice her acting because I could just only look at her lips. So, you know.
She seemed fine. She seemed
fine or fine?
Which fine are you?
Right.
Like,
this girl is fine.
She was like, she seemed like her acting was fine. Like, it didn't stand out as bad to me. I think the hard thing about television is that unless you are like a Westworld or like a Game of Thrones, where like when the show launches, it's incredibly high profile and on an incredibly high profile network,
mm-hmm.
You don't always get these actors who come in and are like top notch. Because Rosita came on the show relatively early still, a few seasons ago. And I think the show was already very popular, but it's not like now. Like season 7, when you're casting Negan, you're going to put Jeffrey Dean Morgan. You're going to put like an unbelievable actor in the role. And I mean, when you have, you're not going to change the actor, so you end up being stuck with who you cast in the first place. Whether or not she's great at it, I think this is something you see in TV a lot.
Mm.
Shows that start out as kind of like a, we'll see how this goes. I mean, again, it's amazing that Andrew Lincoln's as great as he is as Rick. Like, that's a home run that you got a guy who really, ultimately, the most recognizable thing that guy had done was a bit part in Love Actually.
Yep.
That's what we all knew him from.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he leads TV's biggest show, which is crazy.
He's had two roles on the show, though. Did you know that? There's an Easter egg where there's one time where somebody with a very British accent is talking on a radio, and it's actually him.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that.
Yeah,
wow.
It's like one of those like little Easter eggs that they just put in. It's like one of the times on the radio, it's a super, super British accent, and it's actually him.
That's awesome.
There was an incredible theory on Reddit that went up this week. Any of you guys read this? That Walking Dead and Breaking Bad are in the same universe and we're connected?
Dude, that is like 3 years old.
Really?
Yes. Because the first time you see the drug bag, the blue is in there, yeah.
There's a lot of different things, though.
Yeah,
but
that theory started like 3 years ago.
Okay, never mind.
I'm just going to...
Great reveal, Ben. Great reveal.
No, I'm just going to break Ben this episode.
I thought it was really cool.
I was like, is he your Carl today? Yeah. Like, what's going on?
No, he's my Enid today.
That was like stabbing him in the hand.
For those of you that aren't totally, totally, totally stuck up about that theory and think it's cool, I do. Maybe you didn't know that.
Anyone?
I do the show, and I didn't know that, and I thought it was awesome. So if you Google just like Walking Dead, Breaking Bad, there's like some pretty compelling evidence out there, actually. Mm. I was surprised. I mean, I don't think they're connected, but I think it's cool. Anyway, moving on. The only other side story that we have that isn't directly in this like Carl and Negan and Jesus and all the world is Rick and Aaron are on a scavenging mission.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they find a compound, not a compound really, but they find like an area that's behind a sign that's like, if you go past here, danger will follow.
Yep.
They go a little past that. They find that there's like a giant sign that's like, these are all the things we have. And then
the last line of it is great.
What is it?
The line was, if you can already read this, if you got this far reading this, that means I'm dead.
Yeah.
And what they didn't say out loud is the bottom line of the sign was, have at it, asshole.
Yeah,
because that was like the last F you from the guy who's dead at that point. He's like, well, if you're going to have my stuff, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. So they get to this this body of water, and I guess it looks like a lake.
Yeah.
And we have like It was a
houseboat.
A houseboat, right?
Yeah, it was a houseboat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looked like it was probably about 100 yards away on the water, maybe a little further.
I don't know how to gauge distance.
Yeah, there was a bunch of floating walkers, and Rick and Aaron were like, only today. It's all we have. We have to get stuff for Negan. Yep. And so that's where the last we see of them. Yeah. So many like little tiny moments with characters.
Well, we actually had a lot of really good foreshadowing, because earlier on they were like, yeah, they're going to be back. They're going to be back sooner than last time. They might already be there. And then when we get to the end of the episode, yeah, they are already there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Rick and Aaron aren't even back yet.
Did anyone have a moment, though, when you were watching all the walkers, thinking, like, how are they, like, why aren't they drowning to the bottom? Like, why are they still floating, so many of them floating at the top? Or maybe it was maybe it was fresh walkers?
Like, I don't know how deep it was. That's the part I'm...
I guess I assumed it was deep.
Well, I was under the assumption that it was, like, muddy, swampy lake.
Maybe that's
it. And that just, you get caught in it kind of thing.
Maybe that's it, okay.
Because they were pretty high up. Like, not all of them were, like, you know, just floating or just their head showing. Like,
true.
It was, like, some of them were more chest height and further, so...
And some of them could be... I mean, I guess dead more than they already were and floating or something, right?
More dead.
Yeah.
More dead. Closer to decaying more than before.
Yeah, but anyway, it was definitely...
Freshly decayed.
It was like a brand new challenge. Like, I feel like there's just like a group of people who are sitting in an office that are not even just the normal writers of the show, who are just like the interns, where they're like, all right, guys, if you can come up with cool set designs and interesting locations we haven't been to yet to have zombies as obstacles for people to get to things... Mm-hmm. You get a free
issue of the comic book.
Yeah, pitch them to us, and if you come up with a really good one, maybe it'll make it into an episode, and then maybe you'll get a job.
Have at it.
Yeah, because I feel like that's just what the show is. It's like we're gonna go scavenge for things, and then they like find a lake, and it's like, oh, let's go on the lake and see what happens. Will we make it? It's dangerous. I don't know.
You love doing your voices this episode. I can tell.
Yeah. I like sitting next to you because you give me great feedback. Let's move on to the next part of the episode. Don't give me great feedback.
No, thanks, Ben.
No, I'm breaking his balls.
Sorry.
No, I'm breaking his balls. I learned from tonight's episode.
We're gonna jump into the final chunk of the episode. Daryl, anything in the chat people want to share?
There's just still a debate about Tara right now. I mean, not Tara. I don't know why I said Tara because I just saw her
name.
Rosita. Rosita, and there's like a whole conversation about that going on still. But nothing new quite yet.
All right. So we're going to start with Dwight, Daryl, and Sherry. And we'll be quick about this because it leads into Carl and Negan.
Yep.
So Daryl's now like a worker. He's part of the compound. He is somebody who's part of facilitating this whole iron situation that we all knew was eventually going to come again because we saw Dwight's face. And once we found out what happened to Dwight, we figured we would have to eventually see that happen. So you have two characters. You have Mark and Amber.
Yep.
Amber is one of the six wives of Negan that we saw in this episode. We think that he has at least six wives. And Amber has a conversation with Sherry, who is like, what happened? She's like, I ran away. I want to be with him. So Negan's like, you can't cheat on me if you're my wife. You can leave. But if you're my wife, you have to stay loyal or bad things will happen. And there was some good interaction, I thought, with Sherry and Negan. Like, I think they're doing a good job to some degree of developing Negan's character in those scenes as he interacts with more and more people. Mm-hmm. He annoyed me less tonight. Like,
he was not annoying tonight, I didn't feel like.
Yeah, they took, like, they like definitely walked him up, and like he got less and less cool in the really annoying last episode that we saw him. And then this episode, I think he had a lot more interesting stuff to do.
Yeah.
He had more swings to him. It wasn't the same beat over and over again. Like,
yeah.
He actually had a few moments that we'll get to with Carl that felt like genuine emotion.
Definitely.
In the comic, does Negan have any children?
No.
Because I'm like, with all these wives, no one's gotten pregnant. I mean, I know that I'm sure they have some type of contraception, but no one's gotten pregnant?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at some point in the story if he could, but I don't think it's been that long.
Okay.
So, and I don't think he's been in power and like had multiple wives for all that long. Plus,
I mean, somebody could be pregnant at this point, but I don't know if it's been long enough for them to have had the kid.
Because he would have to have a wife and then 9 months later, and we've only been in the world for 2-ish years, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It hasn't been that long, but so we see all this happen. We then see the
interaction with Negan and Amber. I thought was really interesting.
Yeah,
because essentially he made her make the sentence because he said, "You know what happens if you choose to stay with me." And to me, that read as, you know that if you stay with me, Mark is the one that's getting punished.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she made that decision, and that's. I mean, I'm sure it's not an easy one, but it's also really telling about just how scared she was for herself.
Yeah.
Because you know, you could go back, you could be with Mark and your mom, and it's like, okay, it's not just a guy, it's her mom,
right,
too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she still doesn't want to give up the position she's in right now.
Right.
Yeah.
And why? I wonder why that is exactly.
Well, because he says, you can go back, I'll put you on the same job they're on. And you wonder what he means.
Yeah, because then she freaks out at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, what's the alternative, really?
I mean, is it essentially the same as what Daryl's going through? Is like, are you basically one of those people that's positioning the walkers out front? Like, is it that terrible or risky a job that you don't even want to give it a chance?
Right. I guess it's either bottom of the barrel or up
top
with Negan. Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. Definitely pretty brutal. And we have the whole iron situation happens.
Mm-hmm.
So something I've noticed about Negan in this episode, and we'll talk about this a little more with Olivia, but you and I have, like, every single episode we've seen the Saviors mentioned that there's a very rapey vibe to the Saviors. It's something that they've definitely made pretty clear. And even though Negan has this rule, they've put him in situations with women where the women clearly feel threatened, like,
sure. Mm-hmm.
And they get that same vibe from him.
Yep.
But what's really fascinating is, in tonight's episode, as he had this relationship with Carl where he was, like, a little softer on Carl than we've seen him be on characters,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even, like, apologized to Olivia later in the
yes.
episode in this
yes.
weird way, and then says, like, this rude comment to her, but, like, certainly doesn't, like, you know, feel her up or anything or
yeah.
throw her on the... He just, like, says something rude and walks away.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird because you know that he has this rule and he's so specific about his rules.
Yep.
There's no part of me that believes Negan would ever break that rule. I believe his character fully that he believes that.
I mean, this goes into a whole larger can of worms that I don't think we want to get into here,
yeah.
but there's... If he hears the word yes,
yeah.
then that's a
oh,
yes.
Oh, sure, I see what you're saying.
Versus them actually... Like, none of the women want to be in that
yeah,
room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're saying yes out of not wanting to be in a worse situation. So it's not actual consent, is
yeah.
my point.
100%.
It's 100%. Consent that's better than them screaming no, but...
Right, so yeah. I guess my point is this. You're kind of proving my point, which
yeah.
is that... In our heart of hearts, we know he's super evil, and he's a totally bad dude.
Right.
Yep.
And he's capable of doing the worst things to people. We've
yeah.
seen him do horrible things.
Yeah.
Yep.
But they set him up in this weird way to make him an anti-hero,
yeah.
as opposed to just a straight-up villain,
mm-hmm.
where, like, he has this, like, sense of honor in some way, so he's more likable. But exactly like you're saying, it's like mm-hmm. he has all these wives where it's like none of them want to be there, but they're all there because they fear for their lives and their
or
lives.
Or
their
family. And
yeah. yeah, so it is kind of just this horrible, yeah.
Well, that also goes to the speech that he gives right before doing the iron. I
yeah.
mean, it's, you know, we are here, we protect people, we are the saviors. Like, that's like Dr. Doom type stuff. Like, it's like, okay, what I'm doing, I know isn't good, but I'm inspiring people to think that what they're doing is right, and that's what keeps them following. Because if every single person here thinks that they're a bad person, eventually people are going to start breaking.
Right.
Whereas
right.
this is, we are protecting people. We are literally the whole name of the group is based on the idea that they are saving the world.
And if you follow my rules, you all get fresh vegetables for dinner from the
room. We do, yes.
Yep.
You're all still kneeling, right?
Yeah.
So Sherry has a conversation with Dwight in the stairwell. And we've seen this before. And this is like their little secret place they go meet.
Yep.
And they talk about, you know, this is before when she was like, are you happy? He's like, or whatever. So she says, we should leave, someone will see us. And Dwight's like, we're not doing anything. And she's like, we're definitely not. And
right.
then they walk away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a line that he has with her. He says, if you're still standing, then it's always on someone else's back. Right? And she's like, we're not doing anything. And I guess that interaction is the turning point for Dwight, where he
mm-hmm.
decides to, like, make a change. So he slides a note under Daryl's door. Under, yeah, Daryl.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So many names on the wall all at once. I keep mixing them up. And it's what does it have on the back of it? Like a clip? Like a paper clip of some kind?
It looked like a key.
Yeah, it had yeah. a key on the back.
Okay. It was
yeah.
a key. Okay,
yeah.
I looked really closely. It looked like one of those, like, clips that you put on, you know, the black ones. With
it was
the,
like a piece of tape or something.
Tape on
yeah.
the key.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it, because I figured
yeah.
he just opened the door and
yeah.
somehow cleared a path for him because he was outside.
I mean, I'm sure he has other stuff he has to unlock, but yeah.
yeah. So, yeah, so that's the last we see her of Daryl. And then we figure, I guess, he's going to make a run for it. Now Dwight's, like, on his team or something. He's going to try to do something cool.
Well, I think Dwight has at that point, realize that he's lost her.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I have nothing holding me back, because she had made the decision that led to Dwight getting the iron that he was a part of, and it was them doing it together. But now she's encouraging other people to make that, and I think that goes to that line of, it's on somebody else's back. Because Amber made that decision,
right.
and it was Mark who paid for it.
Yeah. Art Master Austin Prophet has a question for the panel.
Yeah.
They want to know, is there a bigger villain than Negan in the comic books?
Yeah. I think we should I think we should discuss that after.
We can address that question. Okay. I'll write it down here just to remember. But okay. I mean, the long and the short of it is that Negan has been referred to by many people as one of the great villains, like, ever on TV, one of the great villains ever in a comic book for a reason. And it's he is a pretty legendary character. I don't even think the show so far has really done him justice. I think he's been pretty close. But in terms of his impact and how unique of a character he is in a comic book, he really stands out. I mean, he's a very special character. So, anyway, moving on to...
And sorry, Ben, this question's for you. Patrick I'm sorry if I'm screwing up your name. It's a really intense last name. Ode Afote?
Yeah.
How do you know that Dwight was the one who gave Daryl the note?
True.
Because I wasn't 100% convinced that it was Dwight. So how did you know that?
It's a good point, isn't it?
It's a very good point.
Did we know for some reason?
Did it
say on the TV? We all assumed.
I think we assumed.
We assumed, but are you... I thought maybe I missed something because it's.
I guess it could
like
be. It could be Sherry. Could be somebody else. Sherry. Could be Carl.
Yeah. Well, no, can't be Carl.
Oh, Carl left. Yeah,
they were already gone.
Could be Jesus, maybe.
Maybe Jesus.
Jesus was there
because he was there.
He jumped off the truck.
He jumped off the truck, right. Which I'll get into my problems with him being on top of the truck when we start talking about that later.
Yep. So yeah, we should move on to our final section here, which is really the main point of the episode. We've touched on a lot of the little stuff already, but Carl and Negan. So
which had my favorite line from the comic in there too,
which is
about him being a little serial killer in training.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just busting your balls.
Jay Kraken 88 says he thinks that Sherry passed a note.
Okay,
interesting.
So,
we Carl shows up. He. Doesn't jump out of the back of the truck like Jesus does.
You show me how to do it first.
Yeah right.
Yeah.
Freaking millennials.
Yeah. And he loads up his assault rifle.
Yep.
Takes out two of Negan's men.
George was the first one.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the name of the second one.
And then gets taken captive by Negan. And Negan's like, I'll show you around, kid. Except I pointed this out, and if any of you guys watched this too, this was like a very small but like weird detail. Right before the commercial, he says to Carl, he puts his hand out and he says, I will show you around. Then it comes back out of it. It shows us the same scene, and he says, I'll show you around. And we don't see him when he says it the second time, which is you thought his take was so bad the first time.
I thought they must not have liked the take, and they ADR'd the whole thing.
Which is weird, because why show the first one then?
Don't know.
I mean, it could have been just him repeating himself. Like, I'll show you around. He obviously isn't getting up, so he repeats himself. You know?
I don't know if he's the guy that repeats himself that way.
It was just like editing.
I think it was just an editing mistake. I think they were probably aware of it. They were probably aware of it. It was just one of those things where they probably had the take and they didn't want
it. Had no other option.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, that was just weird because it shows as big as this. You very, very rarely see continuity errors like that. So, in any case, we have Carl get walked around by Negan. And Negan's like, let me show you how things work. He does the vegetables bit. And he's like, come up to my room. And then they have this great sit-down where he's like, I want to see your eye. I want to see what grandma got me. It's like talking to my birthday present.
Yeah.
Carl kind of breaks. He starts crying.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's sensitive about his eye.
I think this is one of the times where we do forget because of all the stuff this kid has gone through.
Yeah.
And how he is so much of an adult so often, except when he's with Enid and he's a little shit that I can't stand.
Yeah.
But now it's like, okay, this is the reminder. He is still a kid.
Yeah.
And, and Negan even reinforcing it by calling him kid. And it's not in the... I'm, you know, a tougher person than you, so I'm the adult, you're the kid. It's the fact that, no, you are literally a child still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm surprised it came out of Negan to remind us of that.
Yeah.
That he's the child.
He does really like Carl, it seems. Yeah. I know Negan's a complete psychopath, though it's not the kind of thing where I think he'll, like, protect Carl or anything like
he
that.
He sees a fellow sociopath.
Yeah, it's like his young apprentice. He's obviously developing him to groom him to be kind of on his side fully. I mean, because I found it interesting too, because Negan didn't really have a lot of emotion when George got killed. If you know, to me, he didn't. I was like, is he going to bring this up to Carl eventually? Because it was like nothing to me when it first happened.
It was a numbers game more than anything else. It was like, I'm just going to keep holding this over your head, but I'm not even going to mention this guy's name to you or either of the guy's names that you killed. He doesn't care.
But my only problem with it, though, is like if I was part of Negan's team, it would put a red flag to me, like, why am I so committed? I mean, obviously, you have to be committed to being a part of his team because you're afraid you're going to die, but why are so many people following him if he doesn't take the loyalty to look out for his team if they're going to die, you know? I mean, to me, it showed...
Well, he's clearly kind of a crappy leader. I mean, he's a good leader in the sense that he can, like, command respect from other people that are scared of him, and he has a system. But, I mean, as far as, like, do you feel like you are respected or a commodity by Negan? No, of course not. I don't think anybody does. You're just scared of him because he carries around Lucille.
And you want to keep getting the benefits, so as long as it's not you getting shot, you know, it's everybody's really there looking out for themselves. Nobody is caring about it. And the people who do get into interpersonal relationships with other people seemingly keep getting screwed in this world.
Very true.
So, or especially within the Saviors group. So if I'm a dude who's just there and I think I'm a former, you know, Hell's Angels badass or something like that, like, they're okay with just being like, all right, well, that guy bit it, but as long as I'm still okay.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Every man for himself kind
of thing. Right,
completely. Yeah, so he has some moments with Carl. Now, this is interesting. It was the other part of the episode that I thought was the most interesting. There was the moment when they got back to Alexandria with Olivia that I mentioned that was like a sort of a head trip where I was like, I don't understand why he goes out of his way to do these things and show these, like, they want to show us this side of him because they're trying to, I guess, like, humanize his character a little bit.
They really
did. The moments with Carl in Negan's room were the other ones where he's like, I'm sorry, kid. I didn't, you know, I think it's awesome. Because he says to Carl early in the episode,
You're a badass.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's, don't ruin that image of you. Don't be scared of me. It's a disappointment. Mm-hmm. He does have some real respect for Carl. Mm-hmm. And it's weird because he has respect for Carl, which is why he apologizes. He has no respect for Olivia.
Yet none.
But he still apologized. Which is maybe because he has respect for Carl, or he doesn't like want to rock the boat too much. I don't know what it is. It's just, it's weird. It's a little inconsistent.
I mean, granted, when Olivia slapped him, he didn't really do much. I felt like he could have had a stronger reaction. But, so, you know,
I'm 50% more into you.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, we've seen a lot of him this episode that made him more endearing, for sure. Like, I found him more endearing.
Yeah.
There's also something that's scarier about a person who has the opportunity to jump to extreme anger and doesn't do it because it's slower and more calculated. I mean, even look at Daryl and when he punched Negan. You would think the instant reaction to that would have just been, I'm turning and I'm hitting you in the head.
Right.
But he's more calculated than that.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's done with Olivia at this point. I think there could be something that comes back
repercussions
to her.
Yeah.
Or that hurts somebody else because of her decision.
Yeah.
Sure. Right.
I think it'll come back around because I also do feel like it's almost like he doesn't want to overkill the violence in front of Carl, too. Because if he just... gets pissed off about everybody and just kills everybody right in front of Carl, that the loyalty, he's not going to soften Carl to trust him at all.
Right. Never.
He's always going to be on the defense with him. Yep. So.
Yeah.
I did like the bit about, you know, him making Carl lose the patch and sort of asking him to be proud of it in a way. He's like, you're a badass, rad-ass serial killer, you know? And I like that.
He used the phrase rad-ass. I haven't heard rad-ass before.
Yeah.
And then he was making a joke, so you people are too sensitive, which I thought was funny. I was like, after all this, you know, he's making this joke about everybody, you know, being so uptight around him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, everybody's like crying and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've seen a couple times where Carl was sort of not disappointed, but maybe like a little disappointed in Rick when Rick was a little weaker and beaten down. So I wonder if a small part of him sort of sees Negan in a, you know, respectable way, or
like he gets stuff done and he's not scared of, I mean, that's the thing, is Negan isn't scared of anyone. And even when Carl gives his speech saying, you know, you can't kill us, blah blah blah, like, I don't know if he actually believes that. I don't know if Carl believes what he's saying there.
Yeah, when he says, you should jump out the window, save us the trouble of killing you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, definitely, or save me the trouble of killing you.
There's so much bravado in that it doesn't seem legit to me.
Yeah, I'm sort of like wondering with Negan, because they keep pushing the boundaries. We had that line a couple weeks ago about, I just slid my dick down your throat, which is like pretty, that's like definitely pushing it a little bit for TV. And tonight there was a couple more lines when he's talking about Lucille, and he says the line, did you rub her, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's another, with the wives, you want to look at their titties, don't you? Like, don't worry, it doesn't bother me. Like, he says all these lines, and you're kind of like, I mean, I guess we're just so desensitized at this point, because we're watching Glenn, like, graphically have his head split open.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So the words, you're just like, whatever, but I mean,
There is still, and we, I mean, I think we even talked about this on the panel at LA Comic Con. There is a difference between seeing something that's violent and how people are pulled back by that, and then stuff relating to just language and sexuality, like, people aren't as offended by that stuff.
Yeah.
So you get away with more of that right now.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's just, it's also, they make his character, he objectifies women, like, grossly.
Yeah.
Grossly, which, like, also makes him far more of a villain probably to women in the show.
Yeah.
Right? Like, which I think you're building up to him being just this ultimate big bad, which means the whole second half of the season is going to be crazy. Like, everybody wants Negan dead.
I would also argue the women watching the show probably feel the same.
Yes, absolutely. That's what I was referring to. Not the women in the show. I'm saying the audience. The audience members.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, it was also interesting, too. There was that one moment when he was talking about sleeping with his wives, and then he said something in reference to Daryl. They showed Daryl's... like, he said... He said, "Well, I won't be doing something tonight." And then they showed Daryl, and he's like, "Well, maybe."
That was directed at Dwight.
Yeah, it was directed at
Dwight. I thought that was directed at
Daryl. I'm not going to have any time to screw any of my wives today. I mean, maybe one.
When they showed Daryl, I was thinking it was to Daryl.
Well, yeah, because it was Dwight was right next to Daryl.
He really likes to mess with Dwight with Sherry. Because he walks in there kissing him.
Well, I think that's his favorite wife.
Yeah, it seems like Sherry's his number one, right?
Yeah,
his number one.
They have numbers.
She's
number one.
All right, so that sort of wraps that section up. We end up in the car with Carl and Negan heading back to Alexandria after Carl has kind of seen everything happen.
And Daryl, would you like to voice your...
is this about...
The Jesus on the roof.
Oh, okay, so this is my flaw with this part. So Jesus is on top of this truck, right? You're telling me that none of the watchmen can see him on top of the truck? There's not anyone around that tower that is watching the top of that truck. I can't buy that.
Yeah, when they show the top of the truck, he's not on it. So he's on it for a second.
Yeah, but still, the camp is always being watched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It seemed like Daryl saw him.
Yeah.
Right? Because he looked up.
Yeah, Daryl saw him. Looked
I feel
up.
Like
yeah.
someone else would have
seen. I can't believe that no one on his team saw that.
I mean, do we think it's possible Jesus slipped the key under the door?
Well, that's what was on the chat, actually. A couple of people said that it could have been
Jesus. Yeah, I mean, you said that, Susanna. But like now that I'm thinking about it more, do we really think that's a real thing?
I still think it's
so
Dwight.
I don't know if he would be able to get a key. So yeah. Dwight makes more sense.
Dwight makes
it's
a lot of sense to me.
Sure.
And also the phrase "go now," that doesn't seem like something like if it was Jesus, why wouldn't Jesus just open the door?
Right.
Well, that's true. Yeah. That's
like
true.
I can understand Sherry or Dwight leaving the note and not being identifiable.
Yeah.
Jesus would be like, "Hey, we have to get you out of here."
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just.
So, yeah, Negan and Carl get back to the compound, and they have this moment with Olivia we mentioned. It was kind of rapey. It's pretty weird. And then Carl's like, "Don't go in there. It's a water heater." And Negan's like, "Are you kidding me?" He's like, doesn't even just entertain it for a second. And he finds Judith.
Yep. And got bigger.
Bigger. And we just keep going down the rabbit hole of giving Negan opportunities to creep us out and, like, do horrible things. Like, you just expect Negan to drop kick the baby or something like that. Like,
oh, I loved it. I love seeing him
sorry,
with the baby.
I mean, it was just super creepy, you know. I know it's going to eventually probably happen, but if Rick walked around that corner and saw Negan holding that baby and then kissing, the way he kissed her on her forehead when she was asleep.
He'd lose it.
Yeah, he would. Oh, yeah.
I really liked the funny montage of Negan enjoying all of it.
Yeah, like his shoes off in the house.
Yeah, the shoes off. Now. I did like that.
Playing with the faucet.
Him being way better at darts than Carl.
Yeah.
Made me laugh. I don't know. I thought, like, that's the thing, is I thought this was one of the stronger episodes in terms of content. I do think 90 minutes is a little... It's a little greedy at this point with your audience, like, to do 4 out of 8. It's just so much. I mean, there's just so much. And I understand you think about what they covered in tonight's episode and all the setup that obviously this has for next week, because there is. They need to just, like, take everybody to the next step.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I still have to think, when you give us a full 60 minutes on Heath and Tara and this new, you know, group, it's like, you don't need to give us that much on that. You could probably fit some of... That's just how I feel about it.
But granted, it's kind of what we were waiting for, because I feel like the episodes up to now, we're really concentrating on one storyline or one area.
Yeah,
this is the first time where we got multiple. Exactly.
Yeah, it's a hard
to see them at once.
It's a hard thing to execute, so I'll give you that.
For sure, yeah.
And I will say, like, one of the comments that I hear from people is they want more of the show, and they're not going to extend their episodes past the 16 episode seasons.
Yeah,
like, that's just their format. Mm-hmm. So the only way we could get more is by getting more minutes per episode as opposed to more episodes.
Because people hate Fear the Walking Dead.
Oh, God.
People really hate Fear the Walking Dead.
I despise Fear the Walking Dead.
I was a big fan. I thought season one was really solid. I thought it got a little slower at the end. And I have to say, after being on the after show for both seasons, season two was pretty tough to get through. A lot of it.
Yeah.
Really? I got angry during season one, so I never gave season two a shot.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got the better of the two.
It's
seasons.
One of those shows I really want to like, but I still watch it, but it's like it's always something missing.
So much of season two is a letdown. Yeah. I mean, there's some good characters, but Coleman Domingo is the single best character on the whole show. Guy that plays Strand.
He's
amazing.
Yeah.
He's so good.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on to predictions for this, because we're going to do a basic predictions right now, and then we're going to do a spoilery predictions.
Buzz TV predictions.
All right, guys, what we're going to do really quickly for you is we are going to break down one prediction each and do a sign-off of where you can find us. We are then going to give a quick spoiler warning and talk for 2 or 3 minutes about the comic book-related spoilers because some of us read the comic.
We will give the spoiler in the comic.
And we will ruin things for our panelists.
Every week.
Every single week. So this is going to be our official spoilers. I'll start on this side. Or, sorry, not a spoiler.
Prediction.
Prediction. Spoiler prediction. Next. If you guys want to find me, you can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. My prediction... I'm going to repeat one from before, and that's that I actually legitimately think Dwight and Sherry are going to get back together in the end. I think it's going to work out for those two in the end. I'm dead serious. I don't know why. I just get the feeling. I think they're going to give us that redemptive thing.
You actually turned on Siri.
Siri.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saw that.
It just started
Siri
recording.
Siri got excited about that.
So that's my first one, guys. If you want to shout at me about that, you can let me know. John Carl, what do you think?
So signing out, the John Carl on Twitter, Instagram, Whiskey and Waffles on YouTube. So I'm going to give the most hated prediction of this episode. Uh-oh. I think that next week is going to end on a cliffhanger where Spencer, Rick, and Negan are all in the same spot at the same time, and Spencer tries to throw Rick under the bus and try to take control.
Okay.
You guys can find me at Suzanne_Kim, and predictions. I don't know. I mean, I think it's kind of like more of a general overall thing, but I just want to see all the worlds collide again and just see it be more of like a group effort and have some sort of realization between, you know, Oceanside and Hilltop and whatever, that if they get together and just take out Negan, they realize that the people that are actually under Negan, the Saviors, are really unhappy, that, you know, they need help as well. So it's like an overall prediction, I say.
All right.
I think that Jesus is somehow going to get captured by Negan's team, and they're going to be pretty brutal with him, with him wanting to come into the camp and, you know, release people and all that stuff.
I feel like if they captured Jesus, they would, like, torture the crap out of him.
They would cut his hair for
crucify him.
They would cut off his hair.
They would cut off his hair with a razor. You know.
Nice.
Scalp him.
Very good. Dariel, where can the folks find you if they want to follow?
They can find me at Dariel Christen, DerrielChriston on all social media.
Awesome. Can we get a quick spoiler alert so we can talk comic book-related spoilers really quickly?
Also, spoiler one of the alert. Walkers that was spoiler outside was alert. Definitely in a crucifix position. Spoiler I just want to point alert. That out.
Fair enough. Spoiler alert. Guys, so last reminder, if you are listening to this on a device, if you're listening on your computer, on YouTube, anything, and you don't want to hear us talk about things that have relationships to comic books, and you don't want to know anything at all, turn it off. This is your last warning. In just a few seconds, we're going to break things open for you. So the first one is, your prediction relates to the comic book, which is that Negan tears out Spencer's stomach in like a horribly graphic moment in the comic when Spencer tries to sell out Rick.
Yep.
And I thought it was going to happen at the end of this episode. I thought that's what we were going to see to end this episode. And I think that's what we're going to see to end next week. I'm pretty sure that's the moment.
Yeah, I could see that.
Might happening. Even be mid-episode, to be honest.
I could see it happening.
It's super graphic in the comic.
Yeah, because, you know, we haven't had a problem seeing graphic violence on this season or anything like that.
Yeah.
Also in the comic that, you know, the traitor from within the Saviors is Dwight.
Yeah,
so that's entirely why, in my mind, it wasn't even a question of who threw the, you know, the get out now.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was the number one piece of it. The wild card is the fact that in the comics, the baby isn't there at this point.
Another horribly graphic scene when the baby takes a bullet through Laurie, and Laurie and the baby both die in the prison.
They both die, yeah.
We'll talk more about that later.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, that happened way long ago. That was the escape from the prison.
And then also kind of, if you guys could go and answer the question from before about is Negan the most evil character in the comic books?
Yeah, I actually see Alpha as the most evil character.
Well, yeah. Are you totally caught up?
I'm 3 or 4 issues behind. I'm to the point where...
The last trade, though.
Yes, fully. Okay. Fully
so you know what happens with Alpha. Got it.
Yeah.
And we won't spoil that because it's way in the future. Yep. It's something we don't.
I consider that character to be more genuinely evil, honestly.
Yeah, but Alpha breaks and Negan doesn't. So that's where I think you see Negan is truly evil. Is like that. I just think like, I mean he is the greatest villain on the show or in a comic because like he represents the most interesting and exciting story the comic book tells and continues to. You know, be an entertaining character as we go forward. He's still in the comics. That's the thing is without. I don't really want to go down the road of how this all ends necessarily until we kind of have to a bit more. But the one spoiler that I will give, and if you guys have made it this far, then you're ready for spoilers, is that they don't kill Negan.
What?
They don't kill him.
just ruined it for just, her. Yeah, whole yeah, rest yeah, of the season.
See, like, she's...
Cool. Yep.
Yeah. She's over.
There's so nine more episodes.
But we don't need to talk about, like, why or how yeah. or where he ends up. But they don't kill him. So it's... He's still around, and he's a great character, and there's a lot more to come. So, yeah, that's my thoughts. Anything else you want to add in?
No, I'm good for right now. Yeah. Cool. I just think, you know, there's going to be that sellout moment next week.
Definitely. I can't wait. I hate him.
No, he's such a shame. The worst character.
Sounds like a finale for sure.
Yeah. Like, I hope he dies.
I hope he dies.
Just, it's only a mid-season finale. It's not even a full finale. That's the best part.
I know.
Is he alive when he gets it all ripped
off? Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's savage. It's really savage.
Sweet.
I can't wait.
All right, guys. So, thank you so much for watching.
Same that was your strongest sign-off ever.
I know. You're like, thanks for watching. Halfway.
Well, I had been sliding my pen back and forth towards John, and he just like threw it back at me, and I was going to make some comment, but then I was like halfway through talking, and I just decided I'd go this direction.
And you're like, John is just going right.
to... But I was like, well, just bye, guys. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for watching. We really appreciate it. We had a great time talking about this one, and we can't wait to talk about next week's episode because it's the mid-season finale, and it's going to be wild, and some crazy stuff's going to happen. So be here, same time, same place, next week. We love you. Bye, guys.
Probably 20 minutes earlier.
Peace.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.